Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week David Rebuck, the director of the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement, sits down with us to talk about the process of legalizing and regulating online gaming in New Jersey. New Jersey is just the third state to legalize online gaming in the U.S. But with a population of 9 million, the state is much larger than the other two states that have legalized online gaming, Nevada and Delaware, and will be a better proving ground for the industry. David Rebuck, the director of the State Division of Gaming Enforcement, has been working hard to write the regulations, determine a schedule, and consider all the unforeseen issues that may arise once the games go live. Rebuck explains how his agency prepared, what they're doing now, and how he expects them to proceed. He explains how the state will handle payment processing, affiliate marketing, and interstate compacts. He sat down with me at his offices in Atlantic City in early July. David Rebuck, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. I'm glad we could sit down and talk about this. This is such an important issue for New Jersey and the gaming industry as a whole, and I think New Jersey can really take the lead here. This is an important part of what's going to happen in the industry over the next few years, and I think New Jersey is poised to really, really have an impact in what's going on in the industry as a whole.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's our expectation in New Jersey. We have a very aggressive time frame here to move forward with internet wagering.
Okay.
We have the governor signed into law that was a bipartisan bill in February, late February, and we have a time frame in that statute that encourages the division to have regulations and systems in place for permissible internet wagering in 3 to 9 months from that date of that bill signing.
Okay.
And we're moving aggressively to accomplish that, and as I sit here today on July 10th, we're going to still hold to that time frame, and we're going to push the industry to achieve those goals too.
Do you have a specific date that you're looking at this point?
I don't have a specific date in mind at this point in time, other than the one that's set by statute.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple parameters within that, and we have set artificial standards for the industry to tell us as of the end of June what the casinos themselves, who they're partnering with, or what their intentions are moving forward. And each of the casinos has responded and has identified a primary provider or partner that they either have a contract with today.
Right.
Or that they are in negotiations with to achieve a contract in the near future.
Okay.
The next deadline on them is that at the end of July, this month, those partners, if they're not already licensed in New Jersey, have to submit their licensing materials in order to stay on track to go live sometime in 2013. That's not to say they won't ever be able to go live,
but
most of the industry is focused on sometime this year, and I'm not going to do anything to dissuade them from moving forward into that to achieve that goal.
Okay.
Now, there are two further deadlines. One is within 45 days before my identified go-live date, I feel that we need an extension. The law authorizes the director to go to the Casino Control Commission and ask for an extension. The law also requires the director to announce to the casinos no later than 30 days before the go-live date when the go-live date is.
Okay.
So our regulations are out there now. We're in the public comment period. We have a set up a system which is unique to have frequently answered questions addressed during the comment period. So we have that on our website. The regulations would have to be finally adopted sometime after August 3rd. I'm looking to have that done by the end of August. And we're on a path to continue to move forward.
Okay.
A lot of capital investment, infrastructure, we understand.
Right.
We're on
sure.
a very short time frame, and And I don't want to say anything or do anything that will not encourage the industry to meet those goals.
Okay, great. Let's go back to the beginning. We've been talking about online gaming in New Jersey for at least 2 years prior to the the legalization, the signing of the bill. How prepared were you when the governor actually signed the bill? Had you done some research or established a process that would happen once that occurred?
Yes, we had. Again, I think what I stress to the industry is their business plans and certainly the government's desires to move forward with internet wagering were all changed in December 2011 when the federal government put out an opinion that essentially authorized intrastate internet wagering as not being violative of the Wire Act. That changed the whole landscape.
Right.
And New Jersey was probably at the forefront even then because there was an original bill that was presented to the governor and he vetoed it to authorize internet wagering, and this was early on.
Right.
And in that, you could see in his veto message, he identified the issues that were of concern to him that had to be addressed by the legislature if they were going to come back and put another bill before him. They did that, led by Assemblyman Bersicelli, certainly Senator Lesniak, they addressed the issues and put through a new bill. And all this time that it was going on, I had staff doing research and what it would take to regulate this, and looking at foreign countries, primarily because they're the only ones that had a regulatory model. And some of the foreign countries have a very good regulatory model, others have a weak regulatory model, and I think some don't have any regulation at all. So we did position ourselves, and then we did some unique things by authorizing mobile wagering as a test bed for the technology. Although it was limited to within the four walls of the casino, there were still some of the challenges and technology that you could look at there that could be expanded upon if you had intrastate wagering. You had the same issues with identifying individuals and geolocation services and all sorts of issues that you're still confronting.
Sure, no question. What were your priorities once the bill was signed? Did you have that all set up? Were you already kind of lining up the regulations that you were looking at, and then was that the first thing you wanted to do, was get the regulations in place and then see where you're going from there?
We had a first draft of the regulations done before the bill was signed. And we had those regulations drafted because we were not sure if the governor was going to sign the bill or not.
Right.
I mean, I had discussions with the governor's office. We were preparing, but I didn't want to be in a position of having to start drafting regulations after the law was signed. So we had a first draft done. We had significant discussions with the administration thereafter, and then our regulations came out very quickly thereafter compared to the normal process that you would have in government for issuing regulations. So we got those out very quickly, and the industry, I don't think, was too surprised by a lot of what was in there. We've learned a lot since then, though, a lot, based on some of the challenges that the internet has posed in other countries that we just learned. So we learn every day. So the goal here for us in New Jersey, in any regulation, is to do your homework, have the best model out there, best practices on day one, but be smart enough to know that as times change and as technology adjusts, you have to adapt. So if we make a mistake or if something's not working the way we anticipated it in the regulatory model, we will change. To correct it, to make it work. So I'm not saying that when we start on day one, we're going to have the best model forever, but we're going to have the best model that day. And then we will adapt and adjust to make it work continually as new challenges are presented to us or new technologies come about.
And that happens all the time.
All the time in this industry.
Do you expect any of the casinos to be ready to go when you announce the
yes,
date?
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. Right now, I'm very confident that in 2013, there should be at least three major operators in Atlantic City ready to go. And as I continue to work with others, I expect that number to go up. But there's no doubt in my mind. I have three in the top of my mind right now. I've seen what they have. I've got it. they're being very aggressive.
Okay.
So,
great.
We'll have the opportunity, I think, in 13 to meet that goal from the industry.
Okay.
Maybe not all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not all of them.
Sure.
And probably not all of
right.
them, I would say, because you have 12 properties
sure.
down
right.
here. I think we'll surprise people.
Yeah. Great.
And we'll build off of what Nevada did. I mean, Nevada,
sure.
face it, they have Stations Casinos Live.
Mm-hmm.
They have a presence here through the Trump Organization. Caesars is well along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard a lot that they're ready to go turn the switch in Nevada at any day now.
Mm-hmm.
They're here on 4 properties. We have others that I've talked to that they're doing a great job in mm-hmm. trying to get up and running.
Okay, great. New Jersey's different than Nevada, however, because we've got the full scope of online gaming minus sports betting.
Yep.
Does that make it harder or even easier at this point?
Makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
We got more players.
Yeah.
We got more players. More players who want to participate in
mm-hmm.
making internet wagering work, or see it as a business opportunity. And then we also, as you recognize, we have 9 million people in this state. But we're also in a corridor where we view the possibility that those who live in Pennsylvania and in New York
mm-hmm.
in particular, who have an interest in internet wagering, will come into the state and play on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they come all the way to Atlantic City or whether they come into their work environment or their play environment in other regions of the state, we see them as definitely being people who have an interest in wagering, and whether it's on their smartphone or
mm-hmm.
their iPads or their
sure.
laptops, I don't really know. But, we have a population base here that's that gives us much greater liquidity than Nevada, and with that it poses additional challenges,
sure.
but also prevents a great number of opportunities.
Right. Let's talk about the absence of the bad actor clause.
Mm-hmm.
this has
mm-hmm.
been a very controversial
yeah.
part of the bill. Early on, PokerStars came into the market.
Mm-hmm.
Reached a deal with the Atlanta Club to buy the hotel.
Right.
It's a very powerful brand in the poker industry. But it would certainly be an asset to New Jersey. However, it ran into problems in 2006 after it continued to accept wagers. What were some of your concerns when that situation developed at the Atlanta Club and further now at Resorts?
Well, the bad actor clause that you reference is the 5-year bar that you have in Nevada
mm-hmm.
for companies that engaged in violating the federal law. After 2006, PokerStars, obviously, their situation with the federal government is well known by
right.
pretty much everybody in the industry. They have a settlement agreement that allowed them to essentially purchase the assets of Full Tilt, which
mm-hmm.
were forfeited to the federal government, but also pay a massive fine to the federal government and without any liability, but also the agreements, basically the federal government stated in the agreement that they would not oppose
mm-hmm.
them being licensed by any jurisdiction. Of course, they won't endorse it either,
sure,
but they
right.
won't oppose it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an open window there. The bill that was presented to the governor before this constitutional veto built in a 5-year window on tainted assets, but the CV changed the bill to allow for that decision to be made by the Division of Gaming and Enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have a 5-year bar. We could have a bar.
Right.
But we have the opportunity to look at every company
mm-hmm.
and see what their performance was in the U.S. or any place else
mm-hmm.
if they're found to be unsuitable, just like we do
sure.
for a land-based casino. So we don't have a set 5-year, but we do get a chance to look at them. And
mm-hmm.
It's well written by others, and maybe even your magazine has written it, but you're dealing with many companies that have been involved in online gaming throughout the world, and there's a lot of skeletons in closets
That's
throughout
sure.
this industry,
mm-hmm.
and it's up to us to find them and deal with them as we would if they were applying for a land base.
Sure.
So it doesn't give them a carte blanche ability to come in
mm-hmm.
free and clear. We have to look at them each individually, and we will be doing that.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I think it makes sense that you should be given the responsibility rather than them being automatically prevented from participating. This is what the regulatory system in New Jersey has been all about over the years. So, could you envision a situation? And I don't want to do any hypotheticals here,
sure.
But there's been situations in the past in New Jersey where you required certain individuals to separate themselves from the company. I mean, is that a possible resolution to any type of skeletons in the closet?
Yeah, I don't like to deal with hypotheticals, but I do like to look at history.
Right.
And if you look at history through this industry, when you started in Nevada, mm-hmm. when they first started to New Jersey 35 years ago, and all other regulators, there's all sorts of models for taking out those who were seen as to be the bad actors mm-hmm. and having the company reorganize itself or restructure itself to allow for the concerns that one would have about the management or oversight or the bad actors or the bad practices mm-hmm. eliminated. And, history here is a great teacher.
Right.
And I don't, we're not looking at this in a vacuum. I know it's right. a new industry, the mm-hmm. internet, but gaming regulation in this country is a very well-detailed process that gives us a lot of opportunities to do things that that other industries don't have.
Right.
And so I think that's an area that people have to remember that, we're not moving into this as novices. We've been doing this, this agency's been doing it for 35 years. And,
sure.
We have a lot of good people here to look at these things, so I'm not worried about this.
Yeah,
we'll deal with it, and quite honestly, the companies who are coming into the U.S., they know this.
Sure,
they know this,
yeah.
And they're preparing,
mm-hmm.
and they should be preparing. If they don't, then they're going to have to adapt.
Right. Now you mentioned they're going to be required by the end of this month to have their papers in order and applications in. And again, as you mentioned, a lot of them have international experience, so you're going to have to be all over the world investigating
yeah.
these companies. Yeah. Is this going to put a real strain on your manpower?
we've got additional people on board now, mm-hmm. or coming on board. Most of the companies we're looking at would not be casino licensees.
Right.
They would be service industry licensees.
Right.
They would be or ancillary licensees or vendor registered.
Mm-hmm.
So we could temporarily adopt them as permittable to come in and then have a full review continue and take them out later if there were unknowns that came to our mm-hmm. attention later. I'm not worried about it. We can get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I have staff geared up for this. They know it. And let's remember this, too. There are companies who are already licensed in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
already licensed.
Sure, right.
Who want in this industry,
right.
and that's not going to be a problem for us because
right.
they're here,
mm-hmm.
they're done, they're approved, and they have a leg up as they work with the casinos because they're known quantity, and it's just a matter of whether casinos can cut a deal with them or
right.
have confidence in their abilities. So,
okay.
Again, it's this is I think one thing that that I hear from the industry and I hear from those out in the field is that, well, when you go live, everybody has to start on the same day, or they have to be pre-positioned to start on the same day, because if you can't start on the same day, you lose an economic advantage
mm-hmm.
to attract customers to then be successful in the long term. And I believe that's true to a degree. And I believe the first one in with a solid product
mm-hmm. right.
that people trust and utilize and like,
mm-hmm.
they'll have an advantage. They get going. But beyond that, there will be companies, there will be products that come in after the start date because they're not up and operating today. They're new companies.
Right.
They will take market share because adapting and changing in this industry, if you don't
mm-hmm.
and you just rely on the same old product, you're not going to be successful long term.
Right.
So I don't agree with the prognosticators that are saying that you have to all be up and operating at the same time. You got to have the right product and you got to appeal to the market And if that happens a year from the go-live date, or 6 months from the go-live date, or a new game comes on board and generates that excitement, and they market it right, they're going to be successful.
Sure.
And that's, so I don't see this being over on the go-live date. It's just starting.
Right.
Yeah. And we're only limited by our own creativity.
Exactly. It's just like somebody coming to Atlantic City. They don't necessarily stop and stay at one casino. If they feel that they're not lucky there, or they don't like the way they've been treated, they'll move on to another one.
And so the marketing end of this, you have the technology is driving this, without a doubt.
Sure.
It's not the gambling. Right. It's the technology.
Right.
Technology is driving it. Then the marketing of that technology to bring in individuals who maybe aren't gamers, maybe you want to be gamers, maybe you don't even know what gaming is.
Right.
But it's just totally unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we can rely on the experience in the foreign countries and all, but the U.S. market is gigantic,
right,
compared to where the internet gaming is today.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. market is gigantic, not because we have the people,
sure,
because we have the wherewithal,
mm-hmm,
and you have an environment in this country where you have gambling legalized, not casino gambling, but all sorts of gambling legalized in 48 states.
Right.
So the morality issues associated with the anti-gambling concerns in the past, they're just simply, they don't exist today the way they might have existed,
right,
30, sure, 40 years ago.
Right, right, no question.
So, oh yeah, this is people trying to get into this market now as companies,
mm-hmm,
know that this is the new world order here in the U.S.
Right.
In the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may start small because it's only in Nevada, Delaware, and New Jersey,
mm-hmm,
but if we're successful, those three states, then there will be other states that copy us.
Yeah, no question.
And come,
yeah,
on.
Yep.
Okay, if we're unsuccessful, if it fails, if the companies are unable to be successful in making money, if there's no interest, then other states aren't going to move into this area
because, mm-hmm,
they're not going to want to.
Right, right.
So, yeah, we feel a lot of challenges before us in New Jersey,
mm-hmm,
but we see opportunity here for the state that goes well beyond just our four borders.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the, well, first of all, these companies are going to have to reach the level of, say, a slot manufacturer.
Yes.
The license that,
right,
they have now, that's
yeah,
the level they're going to have,
yeah,
to reach, that level of transparency,
mm-hmm,
and integrity. Okay.
Yes, they will.
There's the deal that Boyd and MGM have with bwin.
Yes.
Actually gives the majority of the revenue to bwin. I think it's different in each case, but it's around 60-65%.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't that kind of make bwin more of the operator than Boyd or MGM?
Yeah, this is the revenue sharing is not a new concept in the,
right,
casino industry. The slot manufacturers have been doing,
sure,
this for years.
Right.
I mean, we in New Jersey, we don't have revenue sharing for slot manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something we've looked at, we've talked to the industry, and they're not for it. So,
right,
we're not going to push it,
sure,
as regulators. But in this area, they were for it.
Mm-hmm.
In the sports wagering area, which is a,
right,
whole different area, they were for it.
Mm-hmm.
So as businessmen, I have to look at them and say, okay, this is your business model. You believe it's going to work for you. We can regulate anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that.
Yeah.
So when we look at the revenue that's derived from the casinos, whether it be any company,
mm-hmm, sure,
we'll file that money, and we'll make sure that the people who are the managers and the board members and the individuals who run those companies are more than suitable.
Okay.
I mean, our standard of licensing for what I call CSI,
mm-hmm,
casino service industry, in New Jersey, is almost as high,
mm-hmm,
as a casino licensee. There's a couple factors you're not,
sure,
looking at. Financial stability being one.
Right.
But I guess maybe we're not worried about financial stability because,
mm-hmm,
most of these companies coming in have huge resources.
That's for sure.
Behind them already.
Right.
But the integrity issues,
mm-hmm,
are the same.
Right.
Whether you're a casino licensee or a CSI. So I'm not worried about it. I think it's something we'll be well prepared for, and the industry knows that.
All right, great. I want to get down in the weeds a little bit here.
Okay. Well, now you're hurting me, man. Yeah, well, down in the weeds on IT. I'm an attorney. I'm not a technology guy. I'm learning every day.
Well, we're not going to go.
Don't go too far on me on this.
I want to talk about the affiliate system. This is a very important part of the industry in Europe. People are very unsure about how that's going to work here, including myself. What is your envision of how that's going to work? There's thousands of these companies in Europe. Yeah. What level of licensing will they need?
There's different types of affiliates.
Right.
So let's deal with some of the easy ones. Okay. This gets all about marketing and how to attract people to your websites. So your first form of affiliate is what I call as a pass-through. It's more if you're familiar with the internet, as we all are. If you go to a local website and say you're on www.nj.com, which is the Star Ledger newspaper, you'll see a banner that references Borgata or Taj. If you click on that, you pass to Borgata website, Taj website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Taj and Borgata are paying for that. That's an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not revenue sharing. They're paying for it. So that's one form of affiliate. And we worried about the Star Ledger licensing them to such a high standard. No, because in this case, they're not sharing gambling revenue. They're being paid as a service.
It's just like a newspaper.
As the newspaper, the market.
Sure, which has no licensing criteria.
We're not going to worry about that.
Right.
If anything, at the highest level, you call the vendor register here, which essentially indicates, we have a deal with the casino to be their advertiser. Mm-hmm. Easy.
Right.
One day, fill out the form, send it in. Then you have the next form of affiliate that is more of a revenue sharing. It's like a junket operator that you see in the bricks and mortar world.
Right.
A little different here because now the junket operator on the website is revenue sharing, is referring individuals to wager on the website as they would in the bricks and mortar and getting a percentage or a cut of that revenue. A little different. We already have standards for junket operators in the bricks and mortar world.
Right.
We'll be treating those companies or individuals at a much higher standard and we'll treat them what we call as ancillaries, which is not as high as the service industry license, but we're looking at them.
Sure.
We're looking at them a lot closer.
Right.
And the junket operators exist today.
Right. Is that where you have the revenue threshold? What is it now? $150,000? If you do more over that, you have to get that license?
Yeah. So we're looking at our regs now and how to tweak those to make them very similar to or maybe close to a junket operator. But we're looking at that now. But they would definitely be looking at them at a much higher rate because of the revenue sharing, the gambling revenue being back and forth, the issues of possibly money laundering. You got all those issues that you have already in the brick and mortar world. It's just now you have these junket operators online. Then you have another form of affiliate that is, which quite honestly, I never knew about and we didn't know about here in all our research until maybe 6 weeks ago, and this is called the branding to skins, the skins branding affiliate, so that if you have, for example, Borgata is partnering as a platform to operate internet wagering is bwin, they're not a brand, but the brand could be, the skin could be, they then partner with a group. Let's come up with anybody named NASCAR.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
That has a front for gambling at the Borgata site off of the bwin site. And when you go there, you get enticed to gamble because NASCAR says if you come through our site, we're going to give you a free hat. We're going to give you $50 of comp money to go to bwin website and powered by Borgata. And so it's a marketing concept where you have these partnerships or affiliates.
Right.
And they could get revenue.
Yeah.
They could get gambling revenue.
Sure.
Like a junket operator.
Right.
But they have a database, NASCAR, in this example, Now, I don't want to say they're doing it because NASCAR will call me. We're not doing this. Just giving an example. They have a database, all right? They have a massive number of people who have gone to the NASCAR database, and then they'll go in there and they'll get everybody from New Jersey who's on there, and they'll try to contact them as a market to see if they're interested.
Sure.
Now, they may not be interested, but it's a marketing ploy.
Sure.
So the power to the internet to find people is just huge compared to the print media or the television media. I mean, here they're online already.
Yeah, right.
And then you find them, see if they're interested, attract them to come in. So those companies, again, then we'd have to say, what standard of licensure would we look at?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of a debate we're having right now. But it, again, gets in the revenue sharing. Once it gets in the revenue sharing, you're looking at either the highest level, which is casino service industry, or this affiliate ancillary level that we have on the books.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'd have to look at them very closely. Okay. So with that, I think what you'll see more and more is the casinos and their platform operators will be trying to attract business deals to bring these affiliates in and call them brands or skins, and have this marketing goes well beyond what we're used to if you're on the internet now, where you just click on somebody that passes you over to your site. So it's a, we have our consultant in, Mario Galea, he's educating us on this and how we regulate this and how it's best regulated in Europe, and maybe what we should do in the U.S. that's different in Europe. So it's going to be a real challenge for us. And I think it'll be an area that probably starts small on the go-live date, but I see it as an area that can definitely expand.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting.
Sure.
It'll be very interesting.
I think it's going to be interesting.
The first two are easy. The first two I'm talking about, the affiliates, okay, people are used to that in the internet world. But this last, this third one, it's very creative.
Yeah.
But it also grabs potentially great opportunities.
Yeah, no question. Another technical area that we're not going to get too technical about, but is very important, are the geolocation and ID verification.
Yes.
In Nevada, I have the three mobile sports bet apps on my phone. There's three companies that run that. I live in Boulder City. My house is about two miles from the border of Arizona.
Yeah.
Now, two of those companies, I can't get on their site when I'm at my house. I move back over the hill toward in Henderson, suddenly they're live. But one of them, I can bet, I can walk right up to the border and back. They have a very
tell
good...
Tell me the name of that company. We want that. We want them in New Jersey.
They are very good, I can tell you that. But obviously, in New Jersey, we're going to need that kind of precision because of the massive amounts of people that are at our borders.
Right.
How are you going about evaluating these geolocation programs?
Well, it's a critical element because it's clearly tied to the federal opinion that authorized intrastate internet wagering, and we do not want to be in a position where the technology fails.
Right.
Because if that happens, we're not going to approve it. They're not coming in. It's too risky, and it's an area that the federal government's been very clear on, and we don't want to violate that.
Right.
So we want as high, I mean, I'm not going to say we're going to have 100% compliance, because that being this, it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
But we want 99.9% compliance in this area. And if it takes multiple devices, which it probably is going to take from technology, you're going to have multiple devices, and if you get green lighted on all, saying you're within the four borders, then you got a 99.9%. But if you get a red light or you get a knockout by any one of those multiple devices, you're not going to be able to gamble.
Right.
And that's what's probably happened to you
no question.
in your situation. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to take a very conservative tack, very restrictive here, and that's why I want... You know, give me the name of that one company that works, because the casinos here will love to hear who that is, because that is, it's a big concern. Now, on the ID verification side of the house, I'm less concerned about, because the The United States has so many more safeguards built in on identifying a person's identity than Europe.
Right.
I mean, our privacy laws are such that we can get access to information here on your identity that far surpasses what you can get in some of the foreign countries. So the risk we have here, I keep on driving home the message in our regulations that I want to ensure that our regulations are so strong that if you do have somebody that beats the system, okay, and they will try to beat it, underage, or, you know, try to cheat the system, that, one, we know the person beating the system created, did a criminal act, okay?
Right.
You have Johnny, the 18-year-old, whose brother, Sam, is 22 years old, and Sam passes off to Johnny.
Right.
That's a criminal act.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go after Sam if we find out. If we find out this, we're going after him.
Right.
Just like we do in the bricks and mortar world.
Sure.
If Sam's there with his brother and lets him gamble for him, we're charging Sam criminally.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to charge this guy criminally. We'll go after him. The other situation is what I call, I want a standard of gross negligence, not simple negligence. So if you have all these safeguards built in when you have an account and you have a password and you have an ID system or you have a PIN number or you have an alert system tied to that saying when you're gambling, you're going to be alerted. That's me. Yeah, I am gambling. That if your child steals that or takes your credit card or does anything at all to try to circumvent your identity, then it would have to be your gross negligence. You let them have not just one thing, your password. You let them have your password or PIN. You didn't respond to your alert. You come to me and complain. You were grossly negligent.
Right.
Not simple negligence, but grossly negligent to the point where your minor circumvented what would be not reasonable, but very kind of high standards to get behind what you have in your household.
Right.
And we've been saying that in all our regulations. Gross negligence, criminal standards, simple negligence, higher standards. So a little more conservative, probably not as easy to log on and get on the internet as you would if you're doing your normal email or business, but that's the price of being able to gamble on the internet. You're going to have to take a few more steps, maybe a few more seconds, a few more minutes even sometimes to get on. But if you don't like it, you don't have to go. Gamble on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some other hot-button issues that everybody brings up when we're talking about this. Problem gambling, self-exclusion, you mentioned underage gambling.
Sure.
And these were all addressed in the legislation. Are you confident that you can handle these issues as well?
I'm confident we can handle them, but it's an area we're going to keep learning through. You know, the responsible gambling area is an area that the governor has made very clear in his constitutional veto he's very concerned about. So we are working with the industry now, not just the casino industry, but with the compulsive gambling groups, Rutgers University, to identify in the internet world, in the internet world, the research that identifies best practices. What is it? Tell us. So we can institute it to make it something that is a reality here. The technology gives us some new opportunities. It also gives us some new challenges. And our dialogue with the Compulsive Gambling Group is open. Your article this month is right on point. I need academic research that's well documented and supported by facts to make us move forward in an area. You know, as in anything else in the gambling world, everybody has an opinion of what works and what doesn't, and that's fine. But support it by the research. Show us your research. Help us institute this, and we will, because we're not. Nobody wants to have somebody fail in their pathological gambling where their life is destroyed or their life is destroyed to the degree that it destroys their family. You know, we're not that cruel. Okay, so
this is entertainment.
And I think a lot of it's still unknown, though, in the industry because it's so unique. It is to the U.S., okay? And it's an area that I fully expect have a pretty good standard when we start, but as we learn lessons, we're going to have to adjust.
Yeah.
And we will. And I look for support from the industry, mm-hmm. I mean from the compulsive gambling industry, and they know it. I've talked to them, and I've asked them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the online casinos have always said, not just on this issue, on cheating issues, that, you know, we are the most transparent because you can just go back into the records and you can see what they did. You know, if somebody is a compulsive gambler and he starts betting more and more and more, that's on the record, and that could mm-hmm. trigger, you know, a red flag at some point.
So. Right, and after the fact, you're right. The record keeping in this after the fact is gigantically greater.
Right.
Than what you have in bricks and mortar world,
right?
And as we seek to move forward in this area, we want those records. In the internet world, you can store them anywhere in the world.
Okay, right.
We want those records mm-hmm. stored here mm-hmm. in New Jersey. Okay, historical data records. We want reports. We want to see if they're on top of their game mm-hmm. to identify these things. I mean, I can always look at the records now overseas,
right.
but it's always nice to have face-to-face evaluation so that when the human being mm-hmm. made a decision on that record, I know where he is in New Jersey. Now, that's the industry is not going to be happy with that,
mm-hmm.
but they've heard us already say that, no, you're not going to be able to have the regulatory model with all the background exists in Europe, mm-hmm. in Gibraltar, in Malta, in Alderney, and then we have this, remember, new market in the U.S.
Right.
Okay. And we're gonna always have to travel over there.
Right.
If we had to.
Right.
And so we might have to, you know, we'll move it along and get it here mm-hmm. somehow, but I think most Nevada knows this, Delaware knows, we all know that if we're regulators, I want it here.
Right,
I mean, I send somebody in a car right across the street, and it's a lot easier than putting them on an airplane to Malta.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So it's going to be a challenge for us, and it's one of those, it's definitely one of those issues that we're going to continue to work with the industry on to make them transition assets to U.S.
Right, okay. All right, one more down in the weeds question, and this is one that always confuses me, is the payment processing systems.
Okay.
You know, the credit card companies are still notoriously nervous about processing gambling payments.
Yes.
Will you and other regulators play a role in assuring them that everything is legal and everything is above board?
Yeah, they're already changing.
Right.
I mean, the 7995, everybody mm-hmm. knows the history on that, and you saw the issues with it being a problem when Ultimate Poker came up. It's mm-hmm. no big surprise to them. Sure. They knew it. Nevada knew it. Everybody knew it. And as time's gone on, Nevada's done a great job
mm-hmm.
in working with the Visas, the MasterCards, the Discovers of the mm-hmm. world, with the banks to educate them that, well, it's kind of legal here.
Right.
So how can we set up the internal controls and the systems to know that when you are gambling on the internet and this site
mm-hmm.
is not a is legal,
right?
As opposed to some of the sites you can go on now, and listen, they're illegal,
right? Yeah,
you know?
Clearly,
they're illegal. You can still go on them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple. You can www.scoutpoker.com. Right. One of those. You go on it now, see who everybody's gambling, and it's like none of them are legal in the U.S.
Right? Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. So, I think as time goes on, and the banks feel protected. The credit card companies feel protected. It's going to their internal controls or systems are going to adapt to allow this,
mm-hmm.
but it's still going to be a challenge because there are certain there's certainly certain companies right now that won't take it and they're never until they not never, but they're certainly not going to do it soon and so it's incumbent upon the states where it is legal for us to educate those that it is legal and what systems are in place to mm-hmm. to protect them. And we've had conversations with a lot of payment processors.
Mm-hmm.
We've had conversations with Visa and MasterCard. We, you know, and so is Nevada. And
right.
I'm sure Delaware has too.
Sure.
So it's certainly not going to be as easy for a person to gamble initially as it if you went to the website for Nordstrom's and bought a suit.
Right.
Okay. But over time, it's going to be a lot easier than it is in the past.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about interstate compacts. Well, first of all, let's talk about, does New Jersey have the ability to take bets from other foreign countries where internet gambling is legal? Is that part of this?
I would say we don't.
Yeah.
I have written to the Justice Department and asked for meetings with the Justice Department on a number of issues as it relates to New Jersey's law and our regulations. And I expect I'll be having further discussions with the Justice Department. But that would be an area that I've been asked about. Well, not other states in the U.S., but since it is legal in 85 jurisdictions, do we have the ability to, for liquidity purposes, in poker, for example, have those who are wagering or playing, I should say, in, say, England, be on the same site with somebody from New Jersey? And at this point in time, that's an unknown.
Yeah.
I need to have further discussions with the federal government. I don't have the authority under our state law to enter into treaties with foreign countries.
Right.
So we'll be very cautious in that regard.
Okay.
And at this point in time, if it's determined to be authorized in the future, we're unhappy to move in that direction. But again, I would be cautious because of those 85 countries, they're not all the same.
Right.
There are some countries out there that have great regulatory models that I would say, through our research, you could definitely have discussions with for entering into sharing arrangements. There's others have no regulation at all, and I wouldn't touch them ever.
Right, right.
Now, if you look at the United States, we have three states right now, New Jersey, Nevada, and Delaware. And my sense is, as time moves on, and each becomes operational and comfortable in its operations, that those states will have discussions. It's premature now, way premature.
Right.
Two of the states aren't even operational, and Nevada is, as we all know, has one operation.
And it's just poker as well.
And it's just poker. So that'll happen in the future.
Yeah.
But I don't see it as a 2013 issue.
And where does that responsibility lie in terms of negotiating contracts?
Here it would be with, under our law, the director has the ability to enter into agreements.
Okay.
Other than Nevada has to have a compact situation. Now, compact is a legal term that's a little different than an agreement, but a compact generally requires the involvement of either the governor or the legislature. Now, let's be honest here. If I had, I'm just part of the administration.
Right.
I'm not entering into an agreement with any other state.
Right.
I have a very solid support system for me. I came from the governor's office. We would have discussions at the highest level with the attorney general as well as the administration to see if this was in the best interest of New Jersey. But it's a little premature, like I said.
Sure.
And until we're up and operating and doing it well, I'm not even thinking about it.
Sure.
I can't.
Of course. No. But you believe it will happen at
Absolutely.
Some point.
Absolutely. At some point in time, at some point in time, if we, I expect New Jersey to be the best state in the country. I demand that of my staff.
Right.
That's being demanded of me by the administration. We will be the best. We will have the best model. We'll be able to adapt quickly. And we'll be a leader in the country. And as other states see our actions, we'll be ready to talk to them if they like us. And that's not to say that we won't also look at like Canadian provinces. Because remember, Canada is moving aggressively in this area
too.
That's right. So when you talk about foreign countries, everybody seems to focus on Europe, South America, you know. But Canada is very close.
Sure, no question.
The province is very close.
Yeah.
And there are some very strong regulatory models in Canada that you can feel very comfortable with. So some real opportunities maybe if we talk internationally by keeping it close in North America. Only time will tell.
Right. All right, one more question. Do you believe that the New Jersey online gaming process will become the blueprint for the U.S. industry?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Nevada did a great job in setting the model up. They've been at it for years, okay, as you well know.
Right.
They were first dealing with the early 2000s. Right. They were aggressively dealing with it since 2008. A lot of lessons learned. Mark Liberelli, A.G. Burnett did a fantastic job of getting it going and dealing with the tough issues when nobody else was looking at them. So they've helped us a lot, but we want to take it further.
Yeah.
And we have a much different system here because we have not just poker, as you imagine, but all casino gaming.
Right.
We have the challenges we're being faced with are different from theirs. They have population liquidity issues. In my opinion, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a northeast corridor that is a very healthy casino gaming area. If you look at all the states, Maryland, Nevada, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Massachusetts soon, New York, Connecticut.
Right.
They're operational.
Right.
Okay, they have healthy systems. You have a very large economic base, population base in this region. Who knows where they'll go.
Right.
But there's some great opportunities for us down the line, and we'll see what happens.
Great. Well, Director Reebok, thanks for the time. You've given me a lot of time here, and I appreciate it, but there's a lot of people interested in this issue, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of feedback from this interview.
Good. Well, again, I've listened to everybody who's had a suggestion on how to do this. We will continue to listen. We'll take advice from anybody. I've said publicly that I don't believe that anyone in this country is truly the expert in this area.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to listen.
Right.
And we will continue to listen, and if somebody has a better idea to do it and it works, I'm going to take it.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Good.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about the issues discussed today or anything about the gaming industry, visit our website at ggbmagazine.com. For weekly updates on the industry, subscribe to GGB News, the only weekly e-news magazine dedicated to the breaking news of the gaming business. To see a sample issue, visit ggbnews.com. That's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the interview, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.